Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and we have a great study today in God's Word. We're coming to you from Herb's Coffee House in Dallas, Texas. You need to come join us here. And we are looking. What now? And get coffee as well. Oh, buy coffee. Okay, that's a difference. That's kind of like R.C. Sproul once told us. He said, you don't have to read my books, just buy them. You don't have to drink the coffee, just buy it. So we are in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, the last verse of this letter that Jesus dictated for the church at Ephesus. And we're calling this, Kent, the Tree of Life, this study, the Tree of Life. So in verse 7, this is what Jesus said to the church at Ephesus and what he says to every church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Kent, this is meant to be an enormous encouragement to the church at Ephesus because Jesus has just confronted them with that which has been greatly missing in their life, which is a full-orbed love and passion and devotion for Christ and for God. And Jesus is very mindful to not leave them deflated and not leave them where they would just even wonder, will I make it to heaven? Will I still be in good stead with the Lord? And so Jesus ends with this incredible promise that you're going to make it to heaven just because your love for me has cooled off. Nevertheless, there is the tree of life that awaits you in paradise. And this is really intended to serve as a positive motivation for them to get back in the game, for their hearts to be right with God. And so let's just kind of walk through this. He begins by saying, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this is not a mystical thing that he's talking about. We hear what the Spirit says to the churches in the written Word of God. And we hear it even in these verses that we've been looking at. So if you want to hear what God has to say to you, read the Bible and have your spiritual ears open, that you would really hear inside your heart what God is saying. And this is what he is saying. He says, to him who overcomes. Now, let's just stop there. That's referring to all believers. It's not that some believers are overcomers and other believers are not overcomers. We know that because of 1 John 5 and verse 4. And let me just read this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. All who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, all who have been born again, overcome the world and have overcome this godless, evil world system in which they once were held captive. Jesus has set them free from the snares of the world. And they now live in the kingdom of God. And so when he says to him who overcomes, he's in reality saying to him who has been born of God and to him who has faith in me, he says, I will, and that's a strong promise, not I might, I could, I should, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Well, we know what the paradise of God is. That's heaven. Remember, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And that was a clear reference to heaven. The word paradise means garden, just a beautiful, lush garden. And that's one of the images with which heaven is made known to us, is that it's just a beautiful place with color and the tree of life is there. And the tree of life represents all of the blessings of God for us that await us in heaven. And that includes close fellowship with the Lord and seeing him upon his throne and praising him in face-to-face encounter of worship and perfect fellowship with the saints of God who are around us. And we will be enabled to eat from the tree of life. And that's a metaphorical picture of the pleasure that we will derive in the world to come when we are with the Lord. And that there, that we will be so satisfied in the Lord, and that we will be so content in the Lord and so filled to overflowing with blessing in the Lord, that we will eat to our heart's delight and contentment. So this is an extraordinary promise that Jesus makes to this church that has left their first love. But he doesn't want them to be without hope. He wants them to know that despite this cooling off in their spiritual walk with him, they nevertheless belong to him, and they nevertheless will be with him in heaven, and they have not forfeited their inheritance in heaven with the Lord. So, Kent, let's talk about this.
Well, I think that's super encouraging, and you and I both have been in 1 Thessalonians.
Yeah.
Like, I had your notes, and you made me send them back to you.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I preached this past
Sunday.
So
anyway...
I should have preached your notes instead of my notes.
No, it's not true. But anyway, what's interesting, Steve, this ties into this because the 1 Thessalonians, Paul's commending them in this triad of faith is what? Faith, love, and this steadfast hope, which is where you got the name. Steadfast hope of the coming of the Lord, of the future. Of our where we're going to be.
Amen.
And that's what kept them going. That's what kept these guys, the martyrs that gave their life was this.
Yes.
Knowing that the Lord was coming back, knowing where we are going to be.
Amen.
And I'm convicted by that. How do we keep this? Because we get so caught up, Steve, at least I do, in my daily life, and I've got this to do and that to do, and I've got this worry and that concern. How do I keep the fact that I'm going to be in paradise, that the Lord is coming back, that we have this certain hope? I mean, I read it and I say, that's great. Then I go on and I get busy. But it seems to me the Lord wants us to keep that more in the forefront of our mind, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When the Bible says hope, it's not referring to a wish or even a desire. It's referring to a confident assurance about the future.
Yeah.
And we
It's
absolutely sure. And we need to keep that ever before us as we are going through this world that is just filled with all kinds of snares and traps and resistance and even persecution, that on the other side there is this hope that we have in the return of the Lord, or if we die first, that when we die, we will go immediately into the presence of God, and there we will eat of the tree of life. And so the best is always yet to come for us as a Christian. No matter how good it is here as we serve the Lord and in His Word and fellowship, far greater reality awaits us in the world to come.
So that's really... To my mind, that's an incredible comfort for us if we can keep this in the forefront of our mind, this steadfastness, hope, assurance that Christ is coming back, that we're going to be with Him forever in paradise to get through these difficulties. Who was it, Steve? Was it John Huss that hadn't seen his wife, that was in prison?
Who was this guy right here, John Rogers?
John Rogers. So he's walking... And obviously, what is in the forefront of his mind as he goes to
He's going to be strapped to a stake and be burned to death. And those who observed him that day said it looked like he was going to his wedding.
Wow.
That he had such a confidence. And he went quoting Psalm 51.
Wow.
Because he knew his cause was right. He had finished Tyndale's translation of the New Testament. He had preached the one true saving gospel of Jesus Christ, that his mission was right, and that as he would be burned at the stake, he would be giving up his life to graduate to glory and enter into the immediate presence of God. And that was the hope that all of those martyrs burned by Bloody Mary at the stake had. There were 288 of them, and they weren't all preachers. There were housewives, there were businessmen, there were young children who had put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they were willing to walk through the flames of death knowing that Christ...
Because of this.
Because of this, that paradise right. is on the other side.
So how much more, Steve, we're not going to our death, but how much more should we then integrate this into our busy schedules and the difficulties of our life, which is not death for most of us?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it needs to be a constant part of our focus and our thoughts. And sad to say, the more we interact with our circumstances and the world around us, and even certain comforts and pleasures, we take our eyes off the prize. And the more we undergo tribulation and affliction, the more we begin to long for the world to come. And so it just should be a reminder to us that even in good days, we need to remember that paradise, our true home, awaits us, and the tree of life that will truly satisfy us with an eternal pleasure that will never dissipate or disappear. So, Kent, I need this. You need this.
That's our steadfast hope.
This is our steadfast hope. And so I want to thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. And I pray that you have a steadfast hope in the Lord, and that you know that when Christ returns or when you die, that you will go to paradise to be with God, and you will eat from the tree of life. What an encouragement this is to us in our Christian faith. God bless you.